from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The New England Patriot tree will always be tough because they're always going to try to make you play left-handed a little bit, right? You're always going to have to make adjustments. I think Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best in the business. I mean, you can go on and on. Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich, like, they do such a great job in how simple they do their tape and how just the silent tape, it just pops at how good that they play and how sound they are. So completely different defenses with what they do, but man, they make it so challenging on offenses to be sound, and that's why they are the best in the best.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. I'd ask Josh twice who was that again? I guess I don't know Joe Brady's voice yet.
Who was what?
I like a coordinator where the distinct, like Leslie Frazier.
Oh, sure.
You knew when it was Leslie Frazier talking.
You know when Sean McDermott's talking.
You know when Sean McDermott's talking.
Maybe it's because
Brian
really
Dable
haven't heard
had
much.
A distinct way of talking, I think. Have you watched the new Hard Knocks, by the way?
I watched the first episode.
Yeah. Second episode was awesome. Dable getting into the really nerdy football stuff with the quarterbacks. Yeah, like I had a visceral reaction when he was doing it with Jaden Daniels. And he had Jaden Daniels read a play back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniels made like one mistake, like confused the X for the F or something. And he made that mistake. So Dable's like, all right, like, well, so then he asked him about his family. And in the middle, so Daniels is talking about his family, and Dable interrupts him. He's like, pause, read that playback that I read to you 2 minutes ago. And Daniels reads it back, and he makes the same mistake for the second time. And I'm like, no, dude, like, you can't do that right there in the meeting. It was really good. Dable is a treat to watch in this show. That's Joe Brady there. And we were talking coaching earlier in the week. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off till training camp. We are 12 days? 12 days until Bill's training camp.
That's right.
At St. John Fisher. Actually, before I get to my coaching question, easy answer, Coleman is the player to watch when we get to camp. Where will your eyes go? You're on the practice field. Camp's going on. Where do your eyes go? Coleman? Not automatically?
That's a good question.
Your eyes go. Where do your eyes go? You're at the first practice, and the Bills are on the field, and your eyes go where?
Is it crazy if I said Kyer Elam?
It might be a little crazy.
It might be crazy. I'm really interested in Kyer Elam. They have a new cornerbacks coach this year.
Yeah.
And I think that...
I guess the reason I would consider it a little... Like, I'm a Kyer Elam defender. Like, I think he's been better... His numbers say he's been a better, more effective football player than his reputation is. But the Bills clearly have not trusted him up to this point. I guess my thought on him would be, even if he were to have a tremendous training camp, to what end? He's not starting, right? I don't know if it matters how good he looks. He's not unseating Rasul Douglas or Christian Benford, right? Or do you disagree?
I think there's more of a chance he ends up being their Dane Jackson this year.
And I think he's the leader for that right now, isn't he?
I think that he provides a kind of an interesting wrinkle for Sean McDermott and the defense, because if they want to play more, they could do more matchup dependent stuff where, hey, this is a game we're going to run more man. So Kyrie Elam's going to play more and Christian Benford might go to the bench or Rasul Douglas to go to the bench.
And then also,
injuries happen. So yeah, listen, I mean, the reason I think I'm most interested in Kyrie Elam is the change at coach, at the change at cornerback coach, does it change things for him? Does it change how they view him? And you know, he's going into year three. It's an important year. The corners, you know, specifically, I think of Trent McDuffie, who was drafted, you know, a couple of picks before him. Obviously Kansas City moved up to go get him.
Yep.
And is probably, if not the best slot corner, you know, just depends on where you think Taron Johnson falls in that. But I think Trent McDuffie's the best slot corner in football. And you have right now Kyrie Elam, who's fighting for playing time and maybe fighting, is he a trade candidate kind of conversation around him.
Yeah, the traded conversation I bet will come up again. Isn't he, though? Like, I'm looking at their depth chart. Who is he competing against to be the Dane Jackson? Like, right now,
DeMarcus Ingram.
Here's their corner depth chart. And maybe he's the answer. I know Sal loves DeMarcus Ingram. Ingram replaced Elam in the Jaguars game last year because Elam just could not stick with Calvin Ridley the whole day, so they replaced him. Yeah, their corner depth chart behind Benford and Douglas, this is on the outside, is Elam, Jamarcus Ingram, Kenny Lovely is a name that's on their roster.
It's a lovely name.
Kyron Brown, and then Tecori Couch.
Some names.
Those are some names. That's who he's competing with. Like, I don't think they can trade him. I know they don't trust him or haven't to this point. I know he's a failed first-round pick at this point in time. But right now, he's your number three corner, and you're pretty thin after that. I guess you could say, well, if someone wants to give you something, and then you want to go spend that little bit of money you got from the Tre'Davious White cut that you got in June on depth at corner, then I guess you could do that. Isn't Stephon Gilmore still available?
He is, yeah.
I mean, that's an idea, I guess.
I just don't think he's coming. I don't think he's coming back here to be a role player.
No, he'd want to be a starter.
Yeah.
He'd want to be a
he
starter.
He was good last year, too.
Yeah. So I think Elam is an answer, though. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I just think I'm just interested.
Yeah,
I want to know if anything's
too
changed.
Me too.
You know? I think you're probably right. It's probably Keon Coleman, and it's Dalton Kincaid. What's he look like year two? I'm interested in Ray Davis. I want to see what he looks like in this offense.
I also get drawn to the new guys, right? And Coleman will be that. I feel like there would be 803-0550 if you want to get on this. Like, if you are at the first Bills training camp practice, where do your eyes go? I bet you'd get more than a good amount of people saying Chase Claypool. Like, I don't expect anything from him, but it was stark to me how much buzz he was getting for shorts and t-shirt practices at OTAs and minicamp of, oh, God, like, why are we talking about Chase Claypool so much? This guy could not get on the field in Miami last year. He was kicked off the Bears because he didn't try. And I've got a bunch of smart people that cover football that like to point out in Pittsburgh that while he put up some numbers, he was not the most efficient receiver you've ever seen. And there were drop problems for a guy that's supposed to be this big body, go up and get it guy. It's really not him when you think about it. I don't know. I don't love the player. And then, you know, he puts on the jersey and he looks huge and he looks like a freak athlete. He kind of looks like DK Metcalf, you know, with the muscles and everything. He looks like a specimen. He looks like someone that should be great at playing football.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I've got enough evidence that he's not great at playing football. So I'm not counting on him, but I bet you there would be a good amount of people that would say, I want to see what Chase Claypool looks like in a Bills uniform. Those would probably be the top answers. Maybe all of receivers is just the right thing to point out here.
Yeah,
Justin Shorter.
I'm interested in Curtis Samuel for the sake of, like, at least early on, even in shorts, he was, like, lining up in the backfield.
Yep.
He was doing some interesting. And if you recall, I mean, that's what they were doing with Diggs. Again, so it's like, that's why what makes me believe that
Diggs
Curtis
didn't
Samuel
line up in the backfield last year.
Yeah. Like, Curtis Samuel, to me, feels like their number one receiver, right?
I think he's going to lead their wide receivers in catches. Yes. Yeah. I think Kincaid's going to lead the team, but I think Samuel's going to lead their wide receivers. What I wanted to get to here, 803-0550, Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. I want to get to NFL MVP also a little bit later this hour because there's some trends and I've got some trivia on MVP that is very tough to get, but we'll have that. Earlier in the week, we talked about McDermott and where everyone's at with him as the head coach going into this season. After a year where, like, Nate, when they were 6-6, it was pitchforks, right? And mostly that was for Joe Brady. Like, I mean, McDermott too. There was the 12 men on the field against Denver. A little bit even after that, they had won a game, I think the Jet game in between, but they didn't. The Philadelphia game, right? The Philadelphia game where they knelt the ball with, what was the time on the clock? Was it like 25 seconds?
Yeah, it was
30 seconds?
It's the end of the game, yeah.
End of the game. Yeah. They knelt the ball. They had a chance to maybe go down the field and get it. I mentioned the 12 men on the field against Denver. Like, there were gaffes by the head coach, but the offensive coordinator probably got the most of the brunt of the criticism, but it was ugly. And there's definitely a large group of people out there that at any given chance, they're going to want to go after McDermott as the head coach of this team.
Yeah.
So, like, where are we at? Because I don't believe they're a bad season away from firing him. Like, so I don't think they are. Are they another playoff loss to Kansas City again for a fourth time away from moving on from the coach? Like, I don't believe the coach is going anywhere. I think he's their coach. I think he provides stability for them. I think ownership loves him. I don't think they would move on from him. So that might be frustrating for the fans that don't like Sean McDermott. I am strangely finding myself as confident in McDermott, though, as I ever have been. And here's why. I saw the evidence last year with every injury they could have on defense that they can hold it together on defense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more convinced than ever that their defense will just never be bad with McDermott. I've got a bet up there against Jeremy that any season in McDermott's career, the Bills will have a bottom 10 defense. I made that bet 1 year ago, and I hate that bet because last year was the year.
Yeah.
Right? If they were ever going to have a bad defense, hey, all their linebackers get hurt, and Von Miller is not himself when he comes back.
Daquan Jones goes out week five.
Goes out, yep. And, oh, your safeties look really old, by the way. And, oh, Tre'Davious White goes out.
He had a trade for a corner midway through the year. He just walks in and leads the team in interceptions.
Right, that too. Like, just nothing really went your way. And where'd you finish? Like, 9th, 10th, 11th? Like, they were not a bad defense at all. They were, at the end of the year, it's what helped them get those 5 wins in a row that won the division in the playoffs. Then I guess it comes down to what you believe he wants to do on offense. And you can believe that he wants to play this conservative style of running the ball. They ran it more at the end of last year once Brady took over. I, though, want to trust the evidence that's been presented in front of me with McDermott. Yeah. I want to see this team throw the football. They're the pass-happiest team in the league for the last 5 years. It's them and the Chiefs. So What necessarily is the big problem I'm supposed to have with McDermott right now? It's game management, right? It's winning the big game. And I don't know. I guess I wouldn't expect him to make the same mistake that he did 13 seconds again. How could you? It'd be hard to, right? You could try to blow that, and you might fail to blow it. So with McDermott, like, I've been very critical of him in the past, and there have definitely been moments where I'm like, all right, I like this idea more. Let's do this. Let's move on from him. But right now, I guess I'm weirdly just not finding myself in that spot at all.
He's not going anywhere. I think I said if the Bills had 4 wins and missed the playoffs and finished last in the division, he still wouldn't be fired, because the only way that happens is if Josh Allen gets hurt. You're not going to fire your head coach because Josh Allen got hurt and your season went to you know, Mitch Trubisky, and you won 4 games.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. He's the 3rd safest coach in the NFL. 4th.
Ooh.
4th.
He's the 4th safest coach. You must have 3 names then in mind.
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Sean McVay. Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin. Is that true?
He just got an extension.
I know. Pittsburgh also is, they've had three head coaches in their history, right? They've had three head coaches since like 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that's an organization that does not do things like that, but McDermott, you might be right. McDermott keeps losing to the same team, and that can be frustrating, for an owner. I don't know how frustrated by it Terry Pegula is, but right. I think he's about as safe as it gets. Should he be safer than Tomlin? He shouldn't be. Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. And his defenses, by the way, consistently get blown out, like 45-point performances that they give up. The Bills had, you know, one of the lesser offensive performances against the Steelers defense in the playoffs, and they scored like 35. So, yeah, you're probably right, though. Tomlin is about as safe as it gets. 803-0550 is the phone number. Firing this back up. I liked some of the listeners' thoughts on this earlier in the week on Sean McDermott. So we'll take some calls on this and get to Scott in Rochester, who's first up. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Regarding McDermott, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think Terry Pegula is in love with him, along with everything else that's going on in Terry's life with his wife. I just don't think he's going to be quick to fire McDermott anytime soon. It's becoming very frustrating as a Bills fan, to be quite honest. But, you know, the owner has the final say, and if he likes him, he likes him. That's it. I was also curious if you guys heard that Jonnu Smith clip where he absolutely roasts Buffalo for no reason.
I did not hear this. Jonnu Smith, who's on the Dolphins now, right?
Yes, he's on the Dolphins now. They were doing some Dolphins podcast, whatever thing, and he absolutely roasted City, you know, said no one wants to come here, he even said the wings aren't good, like, just an absolute, you know, shot to Buffalo for no reason.
Am I to believe, though, that he's doing this just to endear to Dolphins fans? Like, did he sound genuine? I haven't heard the clip yet. Did he sound genuine to you? Like, when he says the wings are terrible, is he doing it with, like a kidding laugh a little bit, or no?
I think it's probably, like, 60-40, the latter being just trying to endear himself to Dolphins fans. But, you know, he was at the Patriots. He knows about the rivalry. So, it's probably, like I said, 60-40. But it's an interesting listen. It'll make your blood boil, but I just was curious if you guys heard it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Scott, for the call. I have not heard Jonnu Smith's comments. I don't really want to care about them too much. Yeah, here's the quote. He said, going from anywhere in the country, moving to Buffalo, it's the worst place you could be in the world, and the Buffalo wings ain't even good. I mean, I think that's him trying to, like, hey, let me participate in this rivalry here between the Dolphins and the Bills. That's, to me, all that probably is.
Yeah.
Caller there on McDermott, like, it just, you don't believe that they'd make a move, and I guess you can still have an opinion of whether you want them to make a move. I think if they ever were to do it, it's years away, for sure. It is, I mean, it would have to be ridiculous. Like, I think, like you said, I don't think they're losing enough games to talk about a coach firing unless Josh Allen were to get hurt, and then you're probably not doing it. So how does it happen then? It would have to be something like unique. It would have to be something ridiculous. I think, like, what if they lost to Kansas City two more years in a row? What about then? Then that's five. Would that be five? Five times they kick you out of the playoffs? I mean, at that point, isn't it like, okay, man, like, I don't even know if it's your fault, but I got to do something here, right? Yeah. I'm not moving on from the quarterback. Like, I can't keep doing the same thing. It's like the Maple Leafs, right? Like, they lose in the playoffs in the first round like 7 years in a row, and it's, okay, you're getting unlucky a lot. I get it. You're talented. You probably shouldn't be losing every year. It's not even 100% your fault, but what am I supposed to do? You've lost in the first round 7 years in a row. Like, I gotta do something. I can't sit here and do nothing. I'd look like a joke if I sat here and did nothing. And I think, man, last year, it could be like the same thing. It really could be very similar. I think the way the season plays out, where it's a close division race, the Bills win the division, and then they get to the postseason and they run into a Mahomes or a Burrow and they get bounced out. Like, I think the Chiefs are a better roster than they were last year.
I agree with that. I think they're better too. This is going to sound a little depressing. So I just looked up Marvin Lewis, right? Marvin Lewis had zero playoff wins in his career with Cincinnati. He was there from 2003 to 2018. His first year as head coach, he was 45. The year that his last season, he was 60. He had 16 years at the helm. He had a streak from 2012 until 2015 where they went 10 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, 12 wins. In those seasons... they lost every year in the playoffs in the first round. And I think about a franchise like Cincinnati where, think about it like this for a second, Joe, is they're not a franchise that's known necessarily for their winning. They've been to a bunch of Super Bowls. They've lost Super Bowls like the Bills. But what they're known for is not really paying, right? They don't pay the players. They paid Joe Burrow. That was a surprise. They're not going to pay T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. And they kept their coach around for a long time because he brought a level of stability, respectability to a franchise that had largely been considered one of those teams that doesn't spend money and doesn't necessarily win. And it sort of feels exactly like the Bills, where it took three consecutive years of missing the playoffs after he lost one, two, three, four, five straight years in the playoffs without a win.
Yep.
Then he went three straight years without making the playoffs before he was finally fired.
His career is really one of the most incredible careers in NFL history.
And they had the number one pick at quarterback that they wasted.
How many times could they have fired? He missed the playoffs five of his first six seasons as Bengals head coach.
Yeah.
4-11. Listen to this, Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis, who had, he's been your coach for 5 years. Right, he has one winning season, and he lost that playoff game. And then he has a 4-11-1 year. What team doesn't fire that guy?
Yeah.
The Bengals didn't fire that guy. They gave him another chance, and then he made the playoffs. Yeah, like you mentioned, what was it, 6 of 7? And lost every single one of those games, and he made it all the way to 2018. Right, like this is a good point. That was what the Bengals' standard was.
Yes.
The Bengals' standard as an organization was, just help us sell tickets. Be competitive.
Be competitive.
Be a team that makes the playoffs. That's it. I don't need you to win playoff games. I don't need you to win the Super Bowl. Just make the playoffs and you're good. You can have your job for as long as you want. What's the Bills standard? Is the Bills standard Super Bowl? Is the Bills standard... It's not that bad, right? McDermott, his resume is already leaps and bounds better than a Marvin Lewis. But is their standard what we've seen the last 5 years, is that good enough for them? Or has it changed? Because when they hired Sean McDermott, this would have been a dream to have a five-year run like this. Even though you haven't made it to a Super Bowl, hey, a conference championship, you wanted the division every single year, you win a playoff game every single year. Like, okay, I'm good with that. Has the standard changed? Or does it remain the same?
It's changed for fans. Not every fan.
But a lot of them, it's the only thing you can do to appease... Like me, for instance, I would consider myself in this group. That the only thing left to do was make the Super Bowl.
Just get there.
Yeah. Get there. And even now, I almost feel like it's the AFC Championship game because it's been 4 years since they've done that.
Yep.
So my standard has changed. I know that. But has the Bills' standard changed? Or are they content being a team that makes the playoffs every year and they'll lose to a Cincinnati and a Kansas City and they won't win the Super Bowl? Are they content with that? If that was going to be their existence for the rest of Josh Allen's career, would they be okay with that? Because I would pray it's not. That doesn't mean you have to fire McDermott, by the way. You don't have to attach those two things. I know it's going to be easy to do that, but I don't think it has to be. I don't think it has to be the same. It's a good question when you bring up Marvin Lewis, where the Bengals showed you their hand. They showed you for 16 years what their standard was, and it was lower than almost every other team in the league. And I would ask what the Bills' standard is.
Can I ask you, do you think that from an ownership level that the Bills and Sabres have different standards?
Right now, yes, but isn't that understandable?
Yeah, but I also think that...
Like the Sabre standard is just, can you get people back in the building, right? Like, because it's so low.
But wouldn't you say because that standard is low for the Sabres that just by... the nature of owning both teams, that even if you think the standard for the Bills is higher, the threshold for patience for the Bills will be significantly higher because of the difficulties they've had with the Sabres. Do you think that if this was isolated, they had two separate owners and there was no crossover, that there would be a different standard for the Bills than the Sabres right now? I would say they are different standards, but because of what has happened with the Sabres, I think there's a unintended consequence for the Bills that there will be true fear that they'll end up putting themselves in the same position.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Sabres are in.
Yeah. I don't know that to be true, but you would only be human, I think, if it affected you.
I can't mess this thing up. I can't change something that works good enough.
Right. Because you see, I look over here. Look how bad it could be.
Yeah.
Like, if you're dealing with that day to day, you're running that organization, you own that organization, and you see, man, look how bad it could be. I'm not firing the coach.
That perspective.
I'm not firing the GM.
Yeah.
Because look how afraid would you be of the other side? I would say to that, understanding that that would be a very human reaction by an owner, I would say to that, that's not possible when you have Josh Allen. That dysfunction or that failure, that constant letdown that the hockey team has been for years and years, you are not getting that on the football end of things when Josh Allen's your quarterback. Like, your downside is not that. Your downside is not being the joke of the league. Your downside is playoff bubble team. If you did everything wrong for years and Josh Allen was your quarterback,
you could still probably be where you are.
You're still up, right.
Or close to it.
Yes. You're competing for divisions every year, even still, I think. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jerry, if you stay on hold, we'll get to you right when we come back. We got a hockey guest coming up at 8 o'clock. Michael Augello from the Hockey News. We'll talk Sabres offseason with him a little bit. Offseason's about over when it comes to how much of the player movement that's happened. By the calendar, there's still a lot left, but a lot of the players that we're going to move have moved. So we'll put a bow for now on the Sabres offseason. I want to get to actually the blue line with Michael a little bit and what that looks like for the Sabres going forward, because there's like 9 NHL defensemen that you could argue are deserving of playing opening night. Then we'll get back to some football. Adam Krautwurst will be on at 8:30. Talk some fantasy with him. Scott Fishbowl's coming up this week, and Sam Monson at 9. So loaded show. Time for your phone calls, though, in the next segment coming back. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
Getsy's going to utilize Devontae Adams good in the new Raiders offense.
I love Lou Getsy. He's a fantastic coach. And I love Devontae. Can't wait to play with him again.
That's Aaron Rodgers predicting, I guess, that he's going to play with Devontae Adams again.
I don't see it happening.
Shouldn't Devontae Adams get traded? Shouldn't he be subject of trade rumors? Not even because he's done anything, but what are the Raiders right now? Are they resetting? Are they rebuilding? Are they?
They don't have a quarterback.
Aren't they the only team in the AFC that you feel like they don't have a plan at quarterback?
Yes, literally the only one.
Like, you might not like the plans of other teams. Like, you might not like Will Levis as a plan in Tennessee, but like, hey, second round pick, second year guy, we're gonna take that for a spin. And hey, maybe that's great. That dude's a psycho. Like, he tries to run over linebackers like Josh Allen does. So maybe that'll work.
What's the Dolphins' plan?
I don't think they know right now either. That's a good one. Right, who's second?
Yeah.
Who's second in the AFC at not knowing what their future quarterback is? Because we agree number one is the Raiders, who right now have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
Jeez, that's so bad.
Who's number two? Who doesn't know what their plan of quarterback is right now?
Denver.
Denver, they just drafted a first-round guy, though.
True.
Bo Nix.
Okay,
Maybe it is Miami.
Yeah.
I might listen to that. I don't feel like they know that whether they're going to pay Tua or not.
Pittsburgh too. I mean,
if you want to go future, yeah, I guess.
But they're not as much as Miami, I don't think.
Or even that dude that was just talking right there. Like, for all the talk, you said this in the first segment. All the talk of the Bills' window closing. Look around their division. Their window is wide, is longer, is going to be open longer than I think Miami, because Tyreek Hill is what, 2 years, 3 years away.
That's
from retirement slash not being the player he is right now, and I don't think Tua is going to be a great quarterback without that guy.
I think,
and then Rodgers is 41 or 40.
You can be equally concerned, equally down on the Bills this year as a Bills fan, and say this is the worst that I felt about the Bills since what? Josh Allen's rookie season, 2017, Sean McDermott's first season. And then equally be in the same position to say, and I still think they'll win the division. Because who's going to take it from them?
Who's the best answer for that? I mean, the Jets are the popular answer for that.
I can't get to the Jets. It's like trying to predict something that has never happened will happen. Right?
Right. 13-year playoff drought.
It's like
same as Sabres.
It's like it's trying to project whether or not the lottery ticket you just bought is actually going to win. And then you start to plan all the things you're going to buy with that lottery ticket. That's what Jets fans do every year.
What's the best reason to bet against them? Is it just Rodgers' age?
Their coaching, that they're a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
They're a ticking time bomb.
See, I like Salah, but
Hackett,
man.
I don't like Salah. I don't like Hackett. I don't like Joe Douglas. I think Joe Douglas is good.
I would defend Salah because I feel like there's a lot being thrusted upon him that's not his fault. Like, I bet you it's driving him nuts that I think when he walked into the Jets, like, what was his message? How did he carry himself? How did he conduct himself? Like, he seemed like he wanted to build an organization that Sean McDermott's built. Right, like, he wanted to build a culture. He wanted to build, you know, the defense. Right, he wanted to have sustainability on that side of the football. He wanted things buttoned up and put together. That's how he talked, at least. And then the owner gave him Aaron Rodgers.
But
and like, what are you supposed to do? He's a constant soap opera.
Yeah, but I also think Salah absolutely fumbled the Zach Wilson situation the last 2 years. I mean,
that's
he has mismanaged the quarterback worse than just... Now, I'm not telling you that had he managed the quarterback better, that they would have been better.
Are you saying, like, developing Wilson, though, or, like, playing him?
How they pulled the plug and put him back in and, like, the stuff that... How they handled the quarterback situation post-injury and leading into that offseason. Like, they took care of it, sort of. They got Tyrod Taylor this year, so they have a way higher floor at the backup quarterback position if Aaron Rodgers goes down.
Right.
But how they managed Zach Wilson in the media, how the team was walking into the Bills Stadium after they benched Zach Wilson with Mike White t-shirts, just rubbing it in that kid's face that nobody likes him and nobody wants him to play, and then thrusting him back into the starting lineup last year. And I also think, like, you know, him going in public and throwing who's the running back?
Breece Hall.
Throwing Breece Hall to the bus, saying that he does too much dancing and that in order for him to be successful and take the next step as an NFL player, he's got, like, I don't really think Saleh's a good head coach. I think Hackett is number 32 of 32 offensive coordinators in the league. And I think that largely they are prisoners of a quarterback that is past his prime, that doesn't prioritize football right now in his life. And they are stuck because they have been bad for so long and have been without a true franchise quarterback since Joe Namath. Is Vinny Testaverde their best quarterback?
He was there for 6 years, I found out the other day, which is a lot longer
than Chad Pennington their last good quarterback?
Fitz.
Right.
Fitz for 1 year.
So I guess where I go with this is I think Saleh and Douglas both wear a little bit of this because they didn't do enough last year to prepare and hedge against Rodgers being a 40-year-old quarterback.
They definitely misread that. And thinking Wilson could be insurance is nuts.
Yes.
Is nuts. Given what he had looked like on the field. I wonder if they could hit the redo button, if they would not do the Rodgers trade. You know? Like, they're walking into the season with expectations. They're walking into the season probably with a lot of hope that, okay, we've got our quarterback that at least for 1 year is going to give us what we need with the defense we have and the receiver we have, that we're going to be a real contender. But look at the cost. You know, like it's the Thanos and Gamora meme from Avengers of am I going to butcher the meme? What is the first box? What does Thanos say, Josh? Do we know? I know the second box is what was the cost? Or what did it cost you? Everything.
Did you win, but at what cost?
Yes, everything. Essentially, that's what it was. Did you win? Oh, but at what cost? Everything. Like, Rodgers, look at the cost to have a quarterback that is maybe capable.
Yeah.
Right? Even that's a maybe. He is dragging you through the Page Six headlines day after day after day.
Yeah.
And that was when he wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
He was hurt. He didn't go away.
And what was it?
He only ramped it up, turned it up to 11.
What did last year turn into? Last year didn't turn into Aaron Rodgers being around the facility and still trying to lead and still trying to help, you know, the young quarterback who's struggling. It was Aaron Rodgers playing with the media about him returning back from an injury that no one has ever returned from the same season.
And that extended to the Jets, right? Yeah. What were they having to answer questions about every
whether or not Rodgers
day?
Was going to be playing?
And that was starting in, like,
when
October.
They had 6 wins in December, what they were talking about is, man, if we get one more win, maybe Rodgers comes back.
Yeah. And again, is it going to be worth it for them? I really question that. What's the best case scenario? Is he's back to form, and I guess he's going to look like the MVP that you saw 5 years ago now in Green Bay. Like, good luck getting that. Because, man, what is the precedent? Tom Brady is the only precedent of a player at this age maintaining that level of play.
Yeah.
One person in the history of the league that has really done that. What did Roethlisberger look like at this age? Total shell.
It wasn't good. Yeah.
What did Philip Rivers look like at this age?
Wasn't good.
He couldn't throw it anymore, right? What did Breeze and Eli Manning look like? They couldn't throw the ball anymore. And Peyton Manning, same thing. I remember digging up, this was a year ago, pre-Achilles injury, and where I personally was already wondering, are we sure Rodgers is just as good as we think he was 2 years ago in Green Bay? And what I dug up was comparing Rodgers to Peyton Manning. This, again, was 1 year ago, pre-Achilles injury, which is one of the most devastating injuries for a football player to have. And it was QBR by age and where they ranked in the league. At 37 years old, Rodgers was number one in the league in QBR. Peyton Manning at 37 years old was second. Still great. MVPs, right? 38 years old. Rodgers, QBR in the league, number one in the NFL. Peyton Manning at 38 years old, third.
Was that his 5,040? Was that his record-breaking year?
I think so, yeah, in Denver.
Yeah.
So, Rodgers at 37, 38. Number one, number one. Peyton Manning at 37, 38. Number two, number three. Elite quarterbacks. Rodgers at age 39, his last year in Green Bay. You know how his QBR ranked in the league?
20th.
26th. You want to know where Peyton Manning's ranked? His final year in the league, when we all remember his noodle arm that barely got them to the Super Bowl, and it was because of historic defense. You know where he ranked in the league? 26th. Exact same spot. Peyton Manning retired.
Yeah.
It was over. Rodgers hasn't played since then, has had an Achilles injury since then, but the Jets would have you believe that he's still an elite quarterback at 40 years old. When the last time we saw him play football, he was 26th in the NFL in QBR.
And can I tell you and use a recent example of but a player who's actually in his prime? Look at what sitting out of football for a year plus has done to Deshaun Watson.
Oh, it's killed it. It's killed it. He looks like a total shell.
Total shell of the player. I mean,
he's 28. Like, is he 12 years younger than Rodgers is?
Maybe, yeah. And I look at it like this, is when you're a quarterback and you're away from the game that long and away from, you're more susceptible to injuries. Obviously, Rodgers has, by the way, if you look back at the injuries the last couple of years, they are piling up for Rodgers. The elbow, the wrist, the whatever it was. Like,
didn't he have a hip injury?
Hip injury.
That one year?
The Achilles. Like, these are injuries that are racking up for Aaron Rodgers, and those take a toll on you. I think everyone just thinks had they just gotten competent quarterback play last year, they would have been a Super Bowl contender. And I don't agree with that.
He, in the last 3 years, the injuries that Rodgers has sustained, toe fracture when he was in Green Bay, thumb fracture when he was in Green Bay, rib injuries in his 2022 season, although he was okay from that, calf strain before training camp last year, and then Achilles tear.
Oh, I wonder if that calf strain had something to do with that. I didn't know he had a calf strain.
I forgot about that.
So did I.
I remember it a little bit now that I'm seeing it. Because
that's usually a precursor to his injury. I wonder if it's the same leg.
That is what happened to Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Where he had a calf injury, he rushed it back in the NBA Finals and tore his Achilles. Yeah, forgot about that. Maybe that did lead to it. 803-0550 is the phone number. We got rolling on the Jets there. It's not what I was planning, but listen, Josh plays an Aaron Rodgers clip, and you have to know there's a threat that's going to derail the show into me ranting and raving about them. 803-0550 is the phone number. I saw an interesting Twitter question about Ocean's 11 that I want to throw past Nate when we come back.
Oh.
That quickly, then Michael Ajello from Hockey News on the Sabres will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get a little bit of hockey in here before the weekend, before we reset, get some football later on in the show. So a little hockey coming up. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR. All right, I think I'm going to save my Ocean's 11 question because we were just talking about drinks in the break. The Ocean's 11 question, by the way, I don't even know if we have time for. I saw a Twitter thread yesterday that a couple people were in on. If you're remaking Ocean's 11 today, who are you casting? You get to pick. I love that movie, by the way.
I also like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. What were we just talking about in the break? We were talking about like the new like canned cocktails and whatnot.
Yes.
We had the guys on from Lake Hour yesterday. Wyatt Russell, actor, son of Kurt Russell, was on yesterday. He was really good. Former hockey player. I did not know. I love that the story he told yesterday. If you missed it, it's on demand. Audio Odyssey app. You can find it yesterday 9:30. We learned, and Wyatt told the story when his dad was making Miracle that. It didn't look organic, the plays. Like, it didn't look natural when they were scripting or telling the players on the ice, like, how to, you know, this is the scene we're doing, so I need you to do this, this, and this. Like, it didn't look natural. So what Kurt Russell did was he put a steak dinner on it, and he put two teams on the ice, in their jerseys, one in the USA jersey, one in the Sweden jersey, or the, no, it would be obviously Soviet Union jersey. Mm-hmm. And these were like actors, but they were hockey players. And he's like, just play. Winner of this game gets steak dinner. Everyone gets steak dinner on me. So the shooting of Miracle, the hockey you see in Miracle, are all of those players playing a real hockey game.
Hmm.
Rather than other hockey movies you see where it's like actually scripted and choreographed.
Sure.
Like those guys were just playing hockey. That's what you're seeing in the movie.
Isn't that how it should be, though? Like, I feel like that's how you should
it's
shoot
hard
a
to
sports
script.
Movie.
It's hard to script that.
Right.
It's hard to remake.
Yeah.
Which is why I liked how Miracle they did it. They brought in a lot of historical footage from it.
Are they going to remake that movie?
Gosh, I hope not.
They're remaking Twister?
They're doing a sequel to Twister.
I thought I saw it's a remake.
Sequel.
It's
a
sequel?
It's
a
sequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twisters. Right? All right.
I like Glenn Howell, so I'll watch it.
I loved the original movie, too.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Twister is a...
Speaking of...
Dare I say? Would this be sacrilege? Classic.
Speaking of Kurt Russell.
Is Twister a classic?
Backdraft. Great movie.
What is it? Backdraft?
That's a movie I haven't thought about in a long time.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Billy Baldwin.
I don't
know
that I know this movie.
Bro.
Backdraft?
Oh. It's very, very good.
Hold on a second. Let me discover something.
Oh, my gosh.
1991.
Yeah.
This is a firefighter movie.
Yeah.
That features Kurt Russell, you mentioned Billy Baldwin, Donald Sutherland,
yep.
Robert De Niro.
Yep.
I thought I had seen every De Niro movie.
Dude, it's one of my favorite movies. Twister and Backdraft might be top two from Speed. Speed is also a favorite of mine.
Speaking of forgotten movies, have you guys ever seen the movie Frequency?
No.
No.
Oh, that's a good one. It's like it's a lot to do with like radios and stuff and like basically, like this guy can talk to his dad back in time because of like some solar flares. It was like based around like when the solar flares were happening in like the late 90s, and
Ooh. And
he has to like solve his dad's murder, and like
and he can talk he can to his
talk
dad
to
back
his dad
in time
through a like old radio.
Oh, I'm into that. It sounds like
the movie
plot.
White Noise with Michael Keaton.
Man, I gotta brush up on my movies. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Dennis Quaid is in that movie. He plays the father, and he's pretty good.
Okay.
You should watch Backdraft.
Frequency. Yeah. Backdraft, Frequency, and White Noise. All right. I mean, I'm going golfing today. I'm not doing this today.
Well,
it's too nice out.
Next time it rains, tomorrow.
You guys should have been texting me these movie ideas like 3 days ago when it was tornadoes outside. 803-0550 is the phone number. We've got hockey guests coming up. Michael Agiello from the Hockey News writes about the Sabres for hockeynews.com. On their offseason, we'll check in a little bit and kind of put a bow a little bit on most of their moves. We talked earlier in the week a lot about the Ryan McLeod trade, and then we'll get back to some football. Adam Krautwurst is going to join at 8:30. So loaded 8 o'clock hour coming up. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. Sal will be back next week. Joe and Nate, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, I think I'm going to save my Ocean's 11 question because we were just talking about drinks in the break. The Ocean's 11 question, by the way, I don't even know if we have time for. I saw a Twitter thread yesterday that a couple people were in on. If you're remaking Ocean's 11 today, who are you casting? You get to pick. I love that movie, by the way.
I also like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. What were we just talking about in the break? We were talking about like the new like canned cocktails and whatnot. Yes. We had the guys on from Lake Hour yesterday. Wyatt Russell, actor, son of Kurt Russell, was on yesterday. He was really good. Former hockey player. I did not know. I love that the story he told yesterday. If you missed it, it's on demand. Audio Odyssey app. You can find it yesterday 9:30. We learned, and Wyatt told the story when his dad was making Miracle that. It didn't look organic, the plays. Like, it didn't look natural when they were scripting or telling the players on the ice, like, how to, you know, this is the scene we're doing, so I need you to do this, this, and this. Like, it didn't look natural. So, what Kurt Russell did was he put a steak dinner on it, and he put two teams on the ice in their jerseys, one in the USA jersey, one in the Sweden jersey, it would be, obviously, Soviet Union jersey. Mm-hmm. And these were like actors, but they were hockey players. And he's like, just play. Winner of this game gets steak dinner. Everyone gets steak dinner on me. So the shooting of Miracle, the hockey you see in Miracle, are all of those players playing a real hockey game. Rather than other hockey movies you see where it's like actually scripted and choreographed.
Sure.
Like those guys were just playing hockey. That's what you're seeing in the movie.
Isn't that how it should be, though? Like, I feel like that's how you should
it's
shoot
hard
a
to
sports
script.
Movie.
It's hard to script that.
Right.
It's hard to remake.
Yeah.
Which is why I liked how Miracle they did it. They brought in a lot of historical footage from it.
Are they going to remake that movie?
Gosh, I hope not.
They're remaking Twister?
They're doing a sequel to Twister.
I thought I saw it's a remake.
Sequel.
It's a sequel?
No,
you sure?
A sequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Twisters. All right.
I like Glenn Howell, so I'll watch it.
I love the original movie, too.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Twister is a...
Speaking of...
would this be sacrilege? Classic.
Speaking of Kurt Russell.
Is Twister a classic?
Backdraft. Great movie.
What is it? Backdraft?
That's a movie I haven't thought about in a long time.
Oh my God, it's so good. Billy Baldwin. Kurt Russell.
I don't know this movie.
Bro.
Backdraft?
Oh. It's very, very good.
Hold on a second. Let me discover something.
Oh my gosh.
1991.
Yeah.
It's a firefighter movie?
Yeah.
That features Kurt Russell, you mentioned Billy Baldwin, Donald Sutherland,
yep.
Robert De Niro.
Yep.
I thought I had seen every De Niro movie.
Dude, it's one of my favorite movies. Twister and Backdraft might be top two from Speed. Speed is also a favorite of mine.
Speaking of forgotten movies, have you guys ever seen the movie Frequency?
No.
Oh, that's a good one. It's like it's a lot to do with like radios and stuff and like basically, like this guy can talk to his dad back in time because of like some solar flares. It was like based around like when the solar flares were happening in like the late 90s, and he has to like solve his dad's murder, and he can talk to his dad back in time through a like old radio.
Oh, I'm into that.
The movie White Noise with Michael Keaton.
Man, I gotta brush up on my movies. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Dennis Quaid is in that movie. He plays the father, and he's pretty good.
Okay.
You should watch Backdraft.
Frequency. Backdraft, Frequency, and White Noise. All right. I mean, I'm going golfing today. I'm not doing this today.
Well,
it's too nice out.
The next time it rains, tomorrow.
You guys should have been texting me these movie ideas like 3 days ago when it was tornadoes outside. 803-0550 is the phone number. We've got Hockey guest coming up, Michael Agello from the Hockey News, writes for this about the Sabres for hockeynews.com. On their offseason, we'll check in a little bit and kind of put a bow a little bit on most of their moves. We talked earlier in the week a lot about the Ryan McLeod trade, and then we'll get back to some football. Adam Krautwurst is going to join at 8:30. So loaded 8 o'clock hour coming up. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. Sal will be back next week. Joe and Nate, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.